Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Let's say your guy is having a rough day. Do you want him to share about it or hold it in? And I've heard this question from the majority of my guy friends. And so I'm really glad that guys asked this. And so, yeah, I just take it away. What's your opinion on it? Do you want him to tell you or not?
I would definitely prefer he tells me. And I had this in my original answer, but this summer I was in a relationship and noticed the communication just changed. And I can be pretty intuitive at times. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't ask right away, but a couple of weeks had gone by and I was like, is something going on? And rather than staying in my head, I was like, it's time to ask because you're just getting in your head and it may not be anything. And he's like, yeah, I've actually had some really stressful days at work. And he's like, I'm so sorry that like, I should have told you that sooner. And I was like, well, I didn't ask either. So definitely, because at least for me personally, I know it can affect how I show up in a relationship if I'm having a rough day, mm-hmm. as well as the progression of a relationship. I definitely think, yeah, maybe not, you know, in the first week and you're going through something, but sharing things with vulnerability over time, because life happens. And I definitely would want him to just be honest. And let me know where he's at, you know?
Yeah, I think that's such a great point because life does happen. And I feel like sometimes we as both genders get stuck in the like, well, I have to have it together for whatever reason. But that's not life, you know?
Well, and I was going to say, that's one of the things I've been working on in therapy in the last 3 years, you know, of dating and therapy is you have to be vulnerable. Yes, it means you can. You know, you might meet somebody and they may hurt you, but the reality is a relationship will not grow if you're not vulnerable. And that includes sharing, hey, I'm just having a really bad day. And it may even look like saying, hey, I'm not ready to talk about it, but I just want you to know in case I seem off or different or things like that. But I've had to learn how to do that because I am the Enneagram. I'm an Enneagram 1, which is the perfectionist. And I think I have to have it all together. And I've tried to do that for a majority of my life. And definitely, I think we men and women both think we have to have it all together. Instead, just have to keep showing up authentically and realize. And again, I know some people are like, well, what about, you know, time with a relationship? And I'm like, well, vulnerability with time. So vulnerability is a progression and a journey, just like a relationship is a progression and journey. So, yeah, mm-hmm. you might not share the deepest, you know, things that are going on in your heart that are rough. But if you've had a bad day, tell the person like, hey, I've just had a bad day. You know?
Yeah. And that's all it has to be too. Like, again, cause you already said you don't have to talk about it right that minute, you know, you can say that. And, you know, and that I feel like with genuine people and people who, you know, just like want to, or do genuinely care about you and want to get to know you, they're going to be okay with that because they understand that it's a progression. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was said perfectly.
Well, I was going to say, I've heard it said, and I'm still working on this one, but that men respond better in vulnerability when women are vulnerable first. Again, still working on that one in my own relationships, ooh. But that it gives them the license to say, hey, she doesn't have it all together, and gives them that kind of, hey, maybe I don't have to have it all together. I'm working on that one.
That's a really interesting like point. I wonder what that has to do with like their fix it nature. You know, I don't know. Now I'm going to,
I don't know.
I'm going to write that down to ask my guy.
I was going to say, it's one of those things where I thought, man, I would have asked that question. Like, hey, if a girl is vulnerable first, do you feel you can be more vulnerable with her?
So hang on, guys listening, answer that question. We want to know because I'm so curious. I'm going to text all my guy friends later and be like, hey, is this a thing? So yes, but anybody listening, for sure, let us know that. That's so interesting. I'm like, I've never actually heard that. So yeah,
I'm an oversharer in general. So I tend to just be over vulnerable anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just like, here's all my things.
Yep. Yeah.
I think I posted that on the toxic trait post in 824 where I was
Yeah, I was like,
I'm an oversharer. I just tell everybody everything.
Yeah. And I'm the opposite. You know, I tend to not, especially in romantic relationships, just because of my journey. So it's definitely been having to learn how to be more vulnerable and share.
Which is like a huge thing. We're all so, we're similar, but we're all different in how we handle the situations. You know what I mean? So it's another reason why I'm loving doing this so far. I'm like, had such great conversations and gotten some great perspectives that, of course, I would never think of because that's not my life. So, yeah, it's going to be great when we're done with 100 and I'm going to be like, wow.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I've already planned to look at episodes from the women because I'm like, I can learn stuff from these women too.
Yes, I know. And again, like, that's the biggest thing that I've noticed so far. And you're only my fifth. So, like, the other four, like, were yesterday and we just had such great conversations and I left each one going, wow, I learned something, you know, which I would never have probably learned without doing this. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see how it all keeps unfolding and see where God leads it. So yeah, I'm just going to say thank you again for participating.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So you did answer the long distance question. I feel like this topic is becoming an even bigger thing recently. I don't know if it's just the culture or what's changing. Like, long distance just seems to keep coming up, especially in the 824 group. But maybe that's why I'm seeing it so much. I don't know. But yeah, because I understand that there are reasons to not do long distance. But like for me, I want out of California. So I am open to all of the distances. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, like if you want to just kind of touch a little bit on that, like your feelings overall about it. Have you ever done a long distance before?
Yes, I have actually. So first significant relationship was with a guy in California. So we actually dated for 2 years. It was sadly not a healthy relationship. But post that, I kind of swore off long distance and I was like, yeah, no, guys can lie more easily if long distance. But then as I've kind of seriously dating, actively dating, whatever you want to call it, since like 2020, mid the pandemic year. It's one of those things where I think I've kind of changed some of my perspective again and realizing one, going through therapy has really helped me work on the distrust of men in general and realizing, no, there are great and wonderful and godly men who are trustworthy, even if they live in another state. And I actually dated someone last year who was in Chicago. So we dated 4 months long distance. And that really shifted a lot of my perspectives because he had never really done a long distance before. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really sure if I want to do this again. But we had a lot of fun long distance. Like he was just an active participant in planning dates. I plan dates as well because I definitely think personally, I find it fun to plan a date. Centered around the guy I'm dating, his interests and stuff. But I think having two people that are active and willing to make it work, I will say I've learned in that, like the importance of seeing each other in person, because I met this guy in Florida where I live. We went on a few dates and then we dated long distance for 3 months and didn't see each other during that time. And then he came back to Florida. And I realized probably wise would have been to fly within a month, month and a half max to go see him, because realizing you can have a great online connection, but you may not, you know, have the same alignment in person. There may not be the physical attraction, or you may start to realize things about the other person that you're like, oh, wait a minute. I don't know that I would have realized that on the phone or on a video date. However, it's one of those things where I'm still open to it because I just figure, hey, am I really going to say, you know, even 2,000 miles, it's not my ideal. Yeah, not at all. But, you know, God's story for my romantic journey might look different than mine. And if two people are willing to make the financial sacrifice, the sacrifice of time, I think you can have a really don't know, I believe that I could have a really great relationship long distance.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I love all of that.
I know I had a guy recently because a friend of mine who I had developed feelings for, and he was in another state. He recently flew back into town and he was like, "You just seem so confident that we could make this work." We never dated because he's like, you know, he was not in a place to date. But he's like, "You seem so confident that you could make it work." And I was like, I just figured let's give it a shot. I had like no confidence that it would work as far as like, I didn't know where it would turn out, but I was willing to say, "Hey, I like you. I see things in you that I admire,"
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think that's one of the things I've had to pace myself on is knowing, hey, this may not work, but does it mean it's not worth giving it a shot and seeing? But I get why, you know, it is an investment, which again, why I've learned, you know, a month to a month and a half max to meet in person.
Mm-hmm.
And then both commit to, hey, if we continue to see this moving forward, how are we going to make this work, and having that conversation? Because finances, it is a bigger financial investment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I have a family friend that she's now been married for almost 3 years and she's pregnant with her little girl, but they were long distance and in college, you know, and so, but what they had decided was every 6 weeks, one or the other was going either way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how they worked it out. Like they budgeted, you know, they worked it out. I'm over here like, "Dude, you guys are so young." And you're like, it just every 6 weeks, either you're flying to North Carolina or he's flying here. And I'm like, how? But, you know, again, it was really cool to watch their relationship and to like see that even a couple that young, you know, they were willing to make it work. They felt like this was it for them and they were all in. And their wedding day was, I was sobbing this. But, you know, I'm just like, it's like my little sister's getting married and I just, what is happening? But it was still really cool as somebody who's older than her and literally watched her grow up her whole life to see her now married to the quote man of her dreams. You know what I mean? They had to make it work. They were young and had to figure it out. And I'm like, I don't understand why older people can't figure this out. Like, why can't we make this work, guys? This couple can.
But. Well, it's interesting because as you were talking about that, I was like, huh, I wonder, because I was just hanging out with some friends I met through the School of Dating. I did Kate and JJ Tomlin's School of Dating this spring. And so we had this graduation trip. And so we're hanging out. And this one guy, he's 25 and his motto in life is like, just ask, like, take the leap. And I'm closer to 40. And so I'm like, I wonder if this is the younger, because I see it with younger siblings or friends who are, you know, in their 20s, kind of like, again, I think to the 20s, there's a lot. I was less risk averse than I am in my 30s.
True.
And that probably just comes with age and realizing the kind of the potential pitfalls. And you're like, yeah, okay, I need to make a better decision. But at the same time, I also see in the younger generation a movement towards kind of like, let's go outside of kind of the convention of the way things have been.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder with the younger generation, are they more willing to do long distance? I don't know. Could also be just that's the shift of doing online. And so you have more choices to meet people all over the U.S. instead of kind of just within your own church or community or whatever.
That is a very valid point. I mean, because I love my church. I've been there the majority of my life, but there's not mm-hmm. guys there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I've been on the apps and like, that's why I'm in some of the groups and, you know, and really willing to do the long distance thing because it's not happening here in California. You know what I mean? But it's such a good, that's such a good point though, adding in the whole online aspect of it because everything is right here at our fingertips now, you know, but yeah, I don't know. Now I'm going to ask all my younger friends and be like, is this just a census among all of you that you're okay with it or not? I don't know. I mean, the couple I mentioned, they met in an online class because they were both attending the same university. Mm-hmm. She had been there in person and then come home and was finishing online and he had always done online. And so it just happened. God ordained it. They just happened to be in the same online class, you know, and I was just like, that is so random because the only reason she was in that class in particular was because she decided to save money and come back home and finish online. Mm-hmm. And it's because she had done all the other stuff that she could on campus. So she's like, why am I still here? You know, spending the extra money. And lo and behold, she gets a husband out of it. You know, and I'm just like, okay. But, you know, it's crazy how God can orchestrate mm-hmm. those things like that. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. that's why I personally just am not, I don't want to cut off the long distance thing because, yeah. you know, I mean,
you just don't know.
You really don't. Like, you really have no idea when you're going to meet somebody that could be your mm-hmm. potential person. You have no idea.
Yeah. yeah.
You know? And I tell like my younger siblings and my nieces and nephews that are a little older that I'm like, you honestly have no idea like when it's going to happen. Yeah. So be prepared. Moral of the story. Be yeah. open to it, I guess.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Definitely not. It'll happen when you least expect it. More so the just be open.
can we rest on that for a minute though? Because that is like one of my least favorite cliches ever. I'm like, why do you people tell us this?
You well, know? To me, it's one of, I mean, it's probably to make them feel better that they've said something. And I get it. Yeah. Like, I get it. Because I also, there are times when I've had people that I'm like, what do I say? You know, they're 10 years older than me. And so, you know, I don't want to be like, hey, you know, God will have somebody for you. Cause I know for me, that's not necessarily true. Like, mm-hmm. We don't know what God's story is for my life. Nor do I know yours. But right. yeah, people like to do what happened when you least expect it. I'm like, well, I know people that were like dating a different guy every week and they met their husband and it worked out. And I think they were expecting, they were making it happen.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that cliche.
It's just, yeah. So I just scrolled down because I hadn't read through all of your responses yet. Cause this made me think of the purity culture question. And mm-hmm. because that particular phrase and the God's writing your love story yeah. and you know like yeah. those phrasings were used so much in the purity culture, so we're just gonna segue into purity culture because this one I could rant about for days.
yeah yeah so well it was funny because someone had posted a survey, I don't even remember where it was, but she's like, hey, this person who I know is doing this, I think they were doing a master's study or doctoral study or a paper or something. Mm-hmm. And I started filling it out and I was like, wow, I did not realize how much purity culture has impacted my dating journey and my thinking. And I mean, I knew the big things, you know,
right.
I didn't have a relationship until I was 29. And on the first date, I was kind of like, so, you know, I'm trying to figure out if like we're supposed to get married. And he had grown up in a very similar background as I had. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of like, yeah, absolutely. But hindsight now, I'm like, really? Like, really? And number two, like, I do believe God writes our love story. But it's a like partnership with the Lord. Like, we still have to take steps as well. Mm-hmm. Some of them we're going to stumble and trip and some of them we're going to fall flat on our faces. And the beautiful thing is he takes just like everything in our life. He makes it good and beautiful, but he's not just, can he do it? Yes. I know people that has worked for the vast majority. No, he is, you know, the not just kind of sitting back and doing nothing. And especially, I am not a proponent at all of, hey, I went on this date with this guy and we think we're going to be married. I'd be like, red flag, major red flag.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've heard that so many times. It's like, I'm going to marry him. And I'm all, mm-hmm. are you though? Are you sure? Did you ask him this question yet? You know, but oh. I mean, I get it though, especially growing up in that realm mm-hmm. where that stuff was just, I don't know about you, but literally stuff down my throat. And yeah, I like it because of the fact that it taught me what not to do, mm-hmm. like with my future children, if I ever have them, you know what I yeah. mean?
Yeah.
How to yeah. have those conversations in a better way to not mm-hmm. cause them to have this misconception of what, you know, all that looks like. So, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and I think too, I have a lot of compassion for my parents and friends' parents who, you know, they all kind of ascribe to purity culture. I remember reading I Kissed a Goodbye. I remember reading Boy Meets Girl. I remember reading the what I call the like book, I Gave Dating a Chance, and was like, oh yeah, no, those people. No. But it's one of those things I can have compassion and understanding as I have learned more of my parents' story and where, you know, where how they grew up and the churches they were involved in. But it's also been like, okay, but I don't have to subscribe to that anymore. I've seen the damage it's done for me and for other people, my friends. Mm-hmm. And 100% agree. Like, what do I want to do differently with my children one day? Because, you know, yes, the Bible's very clear, say sex until marriage, but it's not the ultimate sin, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if you stumble and fall in sexual sin, well, guess what? And this is where a lot of people will say, well, it's not the same. And I'm like, but all sin is sin. You know, to me, mm-hmm. reading erotica, which is what I did through a lot of my high school and college, like that's still sexual sin. Like it's not promoting the health of my mind, etc. And so it's one of those things where I'm like, it's not the worst thing in the world, like to bring shame around it instead of bringing the light of God's love and grace. Mm-hmm. When you do that instead of shame, you know, hiding and shame, which that's the way I felt, like I had no sex education really to speak of. Now I also have learned about myself. If I'm uncomfortable with something, I kind of just let it go in one ear out the other and kind of block it. So my mom had told me like, I know I shared this about you with you. And I was like, don't remember it. Sorry. Like you should have knocked harder. But again, like I get to choose. Am I going to sit and blame my parents, blame purity culture, even blame Joshua Harris? Like, and I understand like my journey is different. Some people were very, very impacted by, I guess, dating goodbye in worse ways than I was. But I get the choice now as an adult. How am I going to walk it out? How am I going to heal? Acknowledge the pain, acknowledge, you know, the problems that's caused for me in my dating journey for myself internally, but then I get to change the narrative and mm-hmm. I get to walk out into freedom and do things differently.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
But that comes through 3 years of therapy, like 2 years of like therapy very regularly and just reorienting the way I think. Mm-hmm. So I don't say that lightly, like, oh, it's so easy to do. You know, it takes work. You know, mm-hmm.
life takes work.
Yes, it does. It's funny. I always tell my friends, I'm like, you know, when we were kids, I used to think it's going to be so cool being an adult. You get to do whatever you want, spend your money on whatever you want. And now I'm like, I want to be a kid again. I didn't have any worries. Like food just appeared on the table. I never had to cook it. Sure, I had mm-hmm. to do some chores. Like, but like, I didn't have worries like I do as an adult.
So, yep.
Adulting is a beautiful, messy journey.
It is very, very accurate. I was just in North Carolina this past week and I ended up spending a little bit more money than I had planned. And it was funny because all my girlfriends were like, you're on vacation. Like, stop it. Cause you haven't been on vacation with or like by yourself in a long time. Like, you're good. Yep. You know, and then I'm like, you know, like, cause now I have to go make more money. But,
yep.
You know, we often like forget that we can have fun. And, yes. You know, obviously, yes. Everything costs money, but and you still need to be responsible about it. But mm-hmm. to live in that, like have a vacation where you're just like, I don't care. You know what? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to live life responsibly, but also like a child and just
have some fun.
Yeah. Have some fun because adult life is hard.
Yes. Yes.
Very hard. So anyway, thank you for sharing that though.
Absolutely.
Ooh, love languages. I love talking about love languages. So what are your love languages?
So my top one is gifts, which I find people are like, oh, so you like stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't like stuff. I like things that are meaningful that are given to me. So, sorry, I think I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, you're fine.
Go for it now. So to me, it's something meaningful. So, you know, for example, my sister knows I like this very particular kind of journal. And so at certain times, all of a sudden, she's just like, hey, I saw this journal. It made me think of, like, I just thought you, you know, thought of you or whatever. And it's, you know, specifically something I like. It's not something that, you know, it's a type of journal I like. And or even something as small as pens, you know, I love paper medium felt tip pens. I love them in all the different colors. And, you know, so someone gives me those and it's just like, oh, you know, and it's not super expensive. It doesn't have to be. And I always laugh and say this. So my first relationship, we started dating in December. And so, of course, Valentine's Day comes around and we weren't official, but, you know.
Yeah.
And he was in California. So he sent me a box and in it, he sent me a pack of paper plates. And people are like, well, he gave his dad reamed him for giving me paper plates. Well, I had a house, well, it was in a little studio apartment, and I didn't have a dishwasher. And one of the things I'd expressed to him on one of our phone calls was, yeah, I hate doing dishes. And he's like, well, buy paper plates. And I was like, you know, I have a big family. And so I grew up, you know, my mom watched every penny, you know, to steward money well. And I was like, it's just me. It's one plate. So I always laugh because I'm like, he gave me Prada sunglasses at one point. He gave me diamond earrings. He gave me dozens of roses. The paper plates were hands down the best gift he ever gave. So I'm like, guys, gifts don't have to be super expensive. It's what's meaningful to the girl that's in your relationship. You know, sure. Mm-hmm. I love the diamond. I mean, diamond earrings are great, but, the paper plates were definitely my favorite gift. So, and then my second two are kind of tied. So it's physical touch and acts of service.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. They're neck and neck. And I never thought physical touch was my love language until I realized, like, I just love getting a hug or holding hands, you know, or, you know, just a touch on the shoulder, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, just love it. And it makes me feel so connected to someone. You know, people laugh. They're like, you hug everybody. And I'm like, yeah, because I want people to know, like, they're cared for. They're seen, like, and that's how I feel that way. So I've had to be careful with people who are not physical. Because they're like, no, 10-foot pole, please don't hug me. And I'm like, okay, got it.
Yep. So mine are physical touch. My top two are tied, are physical touch and quality time. Mm-hmm. And then followed very quickly behind by words of affirmation. And so, but I've had many experiences with that where people are not physical touch, but because it's like, that's my thing. You know, I've had to learn it to be like, okay, I need a hug right now, you know, and ask for it. Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then they have the opportunity to be like, okay, I'll hug you really fast and it's going to be that. Or no, I can't handle that right now, you know? And then I'll be like, okay, I'm going to go find somebody else that's fine with it. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's so funny you say that, because that's one of the biggest things for me in the last year and a half is being willing to go to someone and say, can I have a hug? You know, and give them space to say no, because but also just realize, don't be offended that they don't just readily give you a hug. You know, women can't read each other's minds all the time either. You know, men definitely can't read most of the time a woman's mind. But it's one of those things I've learned to just say, hey, can I get a hug? And most people are like, yeah, absolutely. You know, but the big key is not being offended that one, if they don't want to, and then two, like, that they didn't just think of it, you know?
Yeah, I think that has been like the biggest change for me personally, because my family are all over the board with the love languages. So I've had to learn to speak each of them on some level, you know, but it's always harder to ask for what you need.
Yeah.
You know, and so, that's been I love talking about love languages. So, but that's definitely the biggest difference for me personally, is being able to ask for it. And then giving the space to the other people too, being like, hey, do you, you know, how can I show acts of service to you? Or like, you know, are you needing some words of affirmation right now? Like, whatever the situation is. But yeah, I feel like more people need to learn their love languages and how to communicate them.
Yes. Yes. How to communicate them is, I think, the harder thing, especially in the Christian church, because I don't know about you, Tiffany, but for me, it was like, I grew up, it was like, don't, you know, being selfish is thinking about yourself. You should think of others first. Mm-hmm. And so instead of learning how to express, you know, my love languages, what I needed in the moment, where I was coming from, I kind of was just like, okay, you don't matter. You shouldn't matter. Like, put the other person first. And so it's definitely something I've experienced personally and seen in other people as well, of just being in, we've misunderstood the concept maybe of selfishness, what that looks like, and almost overgiven at times. So my wing two comes out a lot sometimes. So having to learn, hey, I can say no, even if somebody else gets upset or mad or things like that, or they feel hurt. Sure, they can express that to me, but I don't have to give to every single person in this world or think about them first in every situation. You know, I can say, hey, no, this is my boundary and I need to recover, rejuvenate, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. That is huge. Like with the sharing of the boundaries too, of being able to be like, hey, I'm not, but we kind of already touched on it with like the guy singing like, hey, you know, I had a bad day, but I don't want to talk about it. That's still a boundary, right?
Yeah.
And you can, you can figure out how to communicate that even within your love languages or whatever the situation is. It all comes back to communication.
I was going to say, I don't know about you, but the older I get, I'm like, communication. Gosh darn it, communication.
Yep. Here we go again with the communicating.
Yes.
I already have like, I think 3 different episodes on my podcast that specifically talk about communication because it's so huge. I don't know about you, like how you grew up or whatever. I mean, I love my family, but we're just not great communicators. We're getting better at it now, but my parents weren't taught. Mm-hmm. So therefore they didn't really, you know, I mean, it is what it is.
Like, I get you.
Yeah, exactly. And so now we're all having to kind of, now that we're all older, we're all having to try and figure it out. And I'm thankful that we are, you know, we're getting better at that. But again, it's not blaming the people in the past. It's just how do you make it better for the future, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and you have to recognize the areas that were either wrong or the areas that needed growth. Because if you don't recognize those, I don't think you can make the progression forward. Acknowledging the hurt. So recognizing like, oh, wow, because I grew up, my family are stuffers, you know, so it's one of those things where I grew up learning how to stuff things. So instead of just being like, and not how to, especially not how to communicate my feelings. And so now it's saying, okay, how do I communicate my feelings? They may not always be true. I 100% agree with that, but that doesn't mean they're invalid in the moment. It might just be that they're triggered by something from the past. So the feeling's not true, but it's been triggered by something in the past or, you know, just, you know, what I'm passionate about or what I've learned in life. And so I can figure out better ways to communicate versus, you know, when I was young, I just exploded in anger, you know? And then as I got older, I learned, hey, that's not appropriate. And so I just stuffed it. And so now it's learning to say, okay, take a breath. And it's okay to even say, I don't know what I'm feeling right now or what I'm thinking. Can you give me a minute? Can you give me, I need some time. And, you know, so yeah, communication. I'll have to go check out your other podcast.
Please do. I got a little ranty, but you know, it's such a passionate subject though.
Yes.
Yeah. And I even had like one of my really close guy friends come on and like, we talked about it too, because I was like, this is such an important thing. Like I need a guy's perspective. Like he and I have been friends since we were like little, you know? And so I'm like, you've seen me through all the things. I've seen you through all the things. Like, let's sit down and have this conversation because we know each other better than most people, you know, outside of our own individual families. So anyway, it's, yeah, I get a little ranty though.
No, I love ranty because then you really start to get to know the like podcast host or the person speaking and things like that. So no, that's awesome.
I get ranty
at work tomorrow. I'll put my Bluetooth in and working away on my spreadsheets and listening to them on communication. It's great.
They, you know, my older episodes are not as good as my newer ones, but it's okay. I was so happy to just start that. I was like, I'm just going to put it out there anyway. But yeah, I get ranty a lot. I get very passionate when I'm sitting down and in front of this mic and letting whatever comes out. You know, but that's part of the reason why I started the podcast is it was kind of like my own form of therapy, even though I'm also in therapy myself. But like it was helping me kind of process through some things like that I was either studying in the Bible or just learning in general, you know, but I'm like, other people need to know this. So yeah. I'm going to share it.
Well, and that's the thing, even if it only touches one person. And that it can touch and change one person's life. So rant away.
Don't worry, I will.
Be yourself. That's the biggest thing I've learned. Just be yourself. Like someone else may not be ranting on their podcast, but it doesn't mean their podcast is better than yours.
Thank you for saying that.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Okay, so I want to go back to Enneagram because I know that that's also a very touchy subject for some people. I love it.
Me too.
I'll go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm just amazed. Well, I can't say I'm amazed. I find it interesting. So many, I'm trying not to use exaggeratory words. So there are several guys I've gone like connected with on dating apps or in person who are like, I don't believe in the Enneagram, or I think it's from the devil, or, you know, I hate the Enneagram because it just puts everybody in a box and they're not Enneagram 4s. I know Enneagram 4s don't like being put in a box.
Nope.
It's just been so helpful to me, and then so helpful with family relationships and dating relationships and mm-hmm. friend relationships, and just challenging me to grow in how I think is not how everybody thinks. Surprise. or what drives me is not what drives everybody else. And mm-hmm. and even in it, like one of my really good friends is an Enneagram 1. We are very different. So it's like you can both be driven, you know, I'm driven by being right, doing the right thing, saying the right thing, you know, making sure things are done with excellence. She's the same way, but how that plays out in our lives is very different, which is why I always go, it's not about trying to put you in a box. It's just helping us understand who you are better and giving us kind of a baseline idea. Like,
yeah.
But I also get I now often say, hey, do you know your Enneagram number? I know it can be controversial, so I don't know what you think about it, you know, with a lot of guys I connect with, because, mm-hmm. you know, I've had someone be like, I had someone send me a sermon after ending things, which was fine. Like I very quickly was like, I don't think we're going to align, but I got a sermon on the origins of the Enneagram, and I get it. Like, he's very passionate about truth, and for him, that's what, you know, he doesn't believe he believes it's based out of something satanic. So I'm like, hey, thanks. You know, didn't listen to it, because I was like, you know, I don't see a problem. I don't hold it higher than the gospel. I don't use it as an excuse for, you know, I can be very judgmental at times. God's been working on that for years in my heart. I've been working on it for years with the Lord. I don't use the Enneagram as like, well, y'all, this is just how I'm wired. And I have people that have said that, and I'm like, no, it's not an excuse for sin in your life or things that you're growing. So
I
love the Enneagram.
Love me too. Like, so yeah. I'm a Myers-Briggs girl too. Like, I know, I know that, you know, but the other thing that I try and tell people is I have a background in psychology and in social work. So that was huge in my undergrad and grad school. So we kind of had to learn about it, you know, and like you, it's helped me a ton. To me, it's the same thing as knowing your love languages in the sense of like, how do I relate to people, you know, because I'm an INFJ and I'm also a 6/4. Like, so those two types, like right there, and being an INFJ, like that is my one goal. Is how do I relate to the world around me? And when I realized that was the connection, I was like, oh my gosh, boom. Yeah. Like, no wonder I do things and respond certain ways, you know, and ask certain questions, or, you know, I'm drawn to certain type of people. Like, it just makes sense because that's how I'm wired in that aspect. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, absolutely.
Yep. I'm like, I get it though.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm judging people that think it's, you know, I know even just recently this weekend, people are like, did you see Jackie Hill Perry's come out with the whole pod YouTube video on like talking about who create, you know, the founders of the Enneagram, the guy who, and I don't remember his name. It's something I'm going to go listen to, because I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I want to know what are, you know, if this is truly something from the devil, of course, like, yeah, I'd want it like for has satanic origin. Yeah. I want to know. At the same time, I'm also like, okay, but the Christmas tree had paganistic origins. So do we throw the Christmas tree out? You know, that type of thing. So, and again, each to their own, like we have to walk out the convictions we feel personally, because the Bible has a lot of gray, has some black and white and a lot of gray, because it's a personal relationship with God. There are principles that are very black and white, and those can help lead the gray areas. But, and I don't like, as an Enneagram one, I hate the gray. But I love black and white. It's so much easier, but then it also would make things so much more boring. So I don't want to sound like I'm judging someone who's like, hey, I don't ascribe to the Enneagram, but I also just think it has helped me so much with certain family members and being like, hey, don't forget they're a peacemaker. So when you go and ask them a question with two different answers and you truly want to know what they're thinking, present both and say, hey, either one is completely okay. I'm just wanting to know what you think, and watching. I still will never forget the visible relief on a family member who, it was something really small, but I could just watch the, you know, the cogs ticking and them fighting between these two decisions. And I was like, by the way, like, and just this sigh of relief. Okay, yes, I don't want that. And I was like, great. Like, I would have been happy with that answer the first time, but you know, they're a peacemaker. Mm-hmm. They're always battling between what is want me to say, what do I really feel, and what should I say, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great tool.
Yes. And that's the thing, is a tool. It doesn't have to be the end all be all. And yeah. I love that you went into the Bible being black and white and then the Christmas tree, because I literally just this past week stopped talking to a guy that I was interested in because he basically told me that I was practicing pagan rituals by putting up a Christmas tree every year and like all of that. And I'm all... You know, like, okay, we hadn't gotten to the whole Enneagram conversation yet. So I was like, you're probably not going to like the fact that I know my Enneagram numbers. So we're just going to this now.
Yeah.
But it was so frustrating, though, in the moment, because I'm like, really, this is the thing? A Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. Like, a Christmas tree? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't want to sound like I'm judging him, because I get why he feels that way and I understand it. But again, it's personal convictions. And I kept telling him that about other things that we had already had conversations about. Mm-hmm. I personally don't have issues with tattoos. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have mine yet, but I will be getting them. You know, but then he basically was like, well, have you really prayed about it? And I'm all, that sounds a little judgy, sir. Yes, actually I have. You know what I mean? And it's not a conviction issue for me. I understand that Sally down the street or Paul down the street might not like tattoos, but that's their conviction. And I'm not going to judge them for not liking them, just like I hope they wouldn't judge me for being okay with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I won't keep ranting, but I just
know. But I think it's one of those things, because you're talking about that. And, you know, I used to be way more black and white in my dating journey. And in the last 3 years, I've come to realize through therapy, through having really good friends who are married, who are single, and people who are married, but they're like older. So I would say like 60s, 70s, even into their 80s. Who I can have conversations with and realizing like, okay, what are the core things I'm looking for in a man? And those are the standard for him to get in the door. Then the next step becomes like, if those are my core values, what are the things that I can learn to live with? I don't want to say tolerate, because that sounds bad, but that I learned to say, hey, we just disagree on this and that's okay. And I think that's one of the things that's a challenge for me. And a lot of culture is you don't have to agree on everything. You can disagree and still develop a good relationship, a loving relationship. I have a friendship that we are in very opposite ends of the spectrum. Now, when we first became friends 30 years ago, we were much more similar. And she has since walked away from her faith and is open about that with me. But we both said, okay, we know we disagree. We're going to bring stuff up still. And even, I don't know, I saw her 3 months ago, I think. And she's like, hey, I just want you to know again, like how much I appreciate like that you continue to fight for this relationship, even though we are very different on this, you know, our faith. And that I know how important that is to you. And I said, but you are still open to hearing about my faith and my convictions. And you're not being like, you know, talk to the hand. I don't want to hear about this. I said, it's a two-way street. Like, but I think in it's the things like the tattoos and the, you know, for me, a lot of guys, I've started to ask if they have an issue with tattoos. I'm like, they're going to have an issue with my nose piercing. I have yet to go on a date with a guy who doesn't have an issue with a nose piercing when he has an issue with tattoos. And I get that, but there's also a side where I want to be like, challenge listeners, like be, you know, if you're like, there's no girl out there, maybe you'd need to stop and look inward and say, okay, where are the areas that I need to grow in? Because I used to say politically, I wouldn't date someone who was, you know, on a different political party than myself. And then I dated someone who was, and I was like, okay, how am I going to navigate this? Am I going to be open to this? And so I said, all right, what are the things that are important, the topics that have been made political, but I would argue they're source of truth is biblical truth. And so we had a conversation about that. And he's like, so, you know, and I was open, like, I've never dated anybody who's, you know, of your political party, but we had a conversation and I was like, okay, well, I guess our votes are just going to cancel each other out. Or other things like, okay, so you have a problem with tattoos. What about height? What about hair color? What about, you know, And I know they're slightly different. You can't, I mean, you can't adjust your hair color. Your hair looks amazing. And
thank you.
But it's one of those things where like, okay, you know, what's the source of the tattoo? And then again, I get it. Not saying, hey, you know, you can't have a personal conviction about tattoos. My parents are very anti-tattoos. Like my mom has told me, I wish you had less piercings. And I'm like, I only have like 5 or 6 and they're on my ears and one in my nose. But again, you know, my sisters have tattoos. I've just said, okay, what are my priorities? And is a tattoo, even a bad tattoo? I mean, if a guy got it pre-Christian and hey, he's like, hey, this has been part of my story. I know it's not a great tattoo, but I've decided to keep it because it opens conversations. Am I going to be like, yeah, God can't use your, you know, your story with this tattoo before you even knew who he was. Mm-hmm. But again, that's also with a lot of dating and challenging myself, which I will say shout out to Kate Tomlin with Heart of Dating. Her podcasts have really challenged me to date outside my comfort zone, outside my, like, you know, date the unexpected is what she always says. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I think it's good, you know, to challenge ourselves with that. And with those guys, I just try and say, you know, the guys I've dated that are, because I had someone who asked me on a date and the next moment said, do you have any tattoos? And I said, oh, why? Is that a deal breaker? And I laughed and he goes, actually it is. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, but I've had to just tell myself like, hey, you found out this is, you know, not the guy for you. And that's okay too. Like not every guy. And it doesn't make him a bad guy either. That's the other thing I'll say. And I try and tell myself and friends, girlfriends of just because he's not your guy does not mean he's not a good guy. He's not a guy who loves the Lord. You guys just aren't meant to be together. He's just not your guy. He's just not my guy, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. Because I think we as women can tend to, I'm guilty of this, of lump them all in one, of like a guy does something badly. I especially did that after my first relationship. He was emotionally abusive. Like, this is just how guys are. Whether I said it, I acted that way in relationships. And just realizing, no, there are men who are emotionally safe men, someone I can share my emotions with, and they're not going to manipulate them or try and abuse, you know, use them to their own devices. So yeah, but the tattoo thing, I'm interested to hear what tattoo you get. Cause I think there's so much, like there's not always a story, but I love hearing like, why'd you get your tattoo?
So I'll tell you now.
Okay, good.
I have, I'm going to get one in its memorial for my grandfather, because he was very, very important to me. So, that's one of them. And then the other one that I want to get is just Proverbs 31:30. And so, you know, a woman who fears the Lord, or sorry, charm is deceitful, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord should be praised. And that's just always kind of been my life verse. And so I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
You know, and I've wanted it for so long. And so in both of them, like I've literally wanted the tattoo since my grandfather died back in 2008, and I just haven't gotten it for various reasons, but you know, and then the other one I've literally wanted since I was in high school, which is also a very long time ago. So,
hey, that's okay. I wanted a nose piercing for a while. It was 8, 10 years before I got it. And I got it when I was overseas.
Nice.
And then I got it re-pierced because it fell out. Well, I was overseas. So I was like, well, we're going to go get it done again because I love it.
You know? Yeah. It's funny. I have 3 piercings on my ears, and I've had guys not be okay with that too. And I don't even wear earrings very much anymore. And yeah, I basically had a guy be like, oh, well, I can't be with you because you have multiple piercings. And I was like,
Well, and I know guys go through the same things with girls at times too. So like, I just always go, really? You're going to end it over this? And then I'm like, I want to be with someone who that. Nope, we're good. Hey, thanks so much. You know, I wish you the best. And I genuinely mean it. Wish you the best. But like, I just think dating can be hard. It can be a hard journey to go on. And mindset is super helpful in changing that. But also it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, I wish you the best, but is it a personal conviction that truly is from the Lord? Or is it just, this is, you read a verse or your pastor interpreted it, you know, when you were young, and have you really looked at the context of the verse? And have you really looked at, you know, what was going on in the time? Have you looked at the cultural side of things, you know, versus just saying, hey, I read this verse in Deuteronomy or wherever, you know, and this is what I stand on. And I'm like, okay, you know, I don't think any less of you. It's just, okay, glad to know that we're not on the same
page. Yes. Yes. And I think that, like, again, like you were saying, there's the core things and then the things that we can, you know, that aren't that as big of a deal, right? But yeah, still, it's like, how do you navigate that? But I think that that is where it comes into being equally yoked, mm-hmm. you know, right? Like, you have to figure out what those things are. And then I feel like me, because I'm a planner also, if like I know that this is like a thing, we need to talk about it beforehand and figure out, like, if it comes up later down the road, how are we going to handle this? Because I don't want this to be the thing that ends us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And absolutely. So I will say that that was one thing that the guy that I stopped talking to said. He was like, I don't want you to feel like down the road, like if we moved forward, that, you know, you wanted to decorate the tree, but you know how I feel about it. So it wasn't going to be something for you. Like, you weren't going to be happy yeah. about it because I wasn't happy about it. And I'm like, okay, valid. You know,
yeah, yeah,
that's yeah. correct. You know, like, because I'm that person yeah. that would be like, well, I know you're not having fun, so I'm not having fun.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
I have more fun when I know the people around me are having fun, and not that I won't express like what I want to do. At the same time, I also am like, I want this to be a shared experience. So yes. if I can tell you hate it, like, great the first time you do it with me, but hey, the second time and the third time and the fourth time, I'm probably gonna be like, hey, let me go out with my girlfriend and do this instead, who they love it too. You do your guy thing, I'll do this with my girlfriends instead, or, you know, family or whatever. Yeah, so
yeah, no, that
definitely not. He's very considerate in saying that and recognizing that.
Yeah, I was just like, I was a little shocked. I was still frustrated, but I was like, okay, I have to applaud you for saying that, because you're right. Like, yeah. I guess he had got to know me well enough to know that that would be an issue, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm yeah. like, yeah, you're right. I would be like, yeah. why are we not decorating the tree? Like, I have years and years of ornaments. Like, these things are ending up on a tree every year. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think gosh. That's all of us in the moment. We can be frustrated. And then as mm-hmm. a little time goes on, you're like, okay, I've cooled off. It's like, why can't I remember this in the moment to be like, hey, I need to take a minute to think about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it was
a communication thing.
Yeah, it definitely is the communication thing. It was just so funny because, like, that specific situation, like, it literally was check, 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 like all these
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. And I'm like, are you kidding? Yes. The Christmas yep. tree.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I get it. I get why. And yeah. it's okay. My guy's going to like Christmas trees as much as I like Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Or at least
he won't be opposed to them.
Yeah. I won't be opposed to them, like wholeheartedly opposed to them. So, because your girl's going to have multiple Christmas trees. It's going to happen. I love to decorate for Christmas. It's like one of my favorite times of the year. So yeah. Anyway.
Good. And that's one of the things, like, taking breaks. I've learned, Sarah, do the things you love. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you talked about, like, guys, I think one of the questions was, you know, if you're in a season of singleness, would you tell a guy and things like that? Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where I'm like, generally, it feels like the dating world is a lot more barren when I'm on my breaks.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a good thing because it makes it easier. Generally, when I'm open to dating, then I'm, you know, it seems like that's when guys start showing up.
Start having them come out of the woodwork when I am on a break. And I'm like, what is happening right now?
Well, yes, I will say that. So in January, I had three guys who were all guys. One I had broken up with, one who'd broken up with me, and then mm-hmm. one who I had been like, hey, I have feelings for you. And he's like, hey, like, I do too, but I'm not in a place to date you. And I was like, okay, no problem. Like, you know, and he's like, can we be friends still? And I was like, give me a minute to, like, just process and make sure I'm good. Came back and I was like, yeah, I'm good. And then he started sending me mixed signals. And I was like, hey, no. I need clarification. And then he just totally stopped talking to me at all. Which, you know, granted, you know, we're all going through different stuff, but he came out of all three of them in January when I was still on my break. And I'm like, is this the month of the exes?
Right.
You're like, where goes, I think from? The Lord is trying to close some doors for you, like help you work through some, like, you know, hey, mm-hmm. this is not the person, like, you know. Having the opportunity to thank the guy that broke up with me was such a gift, because God really used him in my life and our breakup in my life to help me become aware of some things.
Okay. So you brought up another thing that I want to ask you, because I had another friend also from the 824 group send me a question, and he's like, I think you've already started interviewing. And I'm like, yes, I have. So, but you talked about wanting clarity. So he was telling me this experience that he's had recently where he's expressed interest in a friend and, you know, basically they just disappeared without like saying anything. And so he was like, I want to know like what it is on the woman's side of it. Like, why is she doing that? You know, or why could she be doing that? So basically his question was like, is it a boundary thing? Is it to protect her? Or is it a fear of like the mutual attraction? Because he's the type that keeps finding himself in the long distance situation. Mm-hmm. So that's just a little side note. So if you want to touch on that, like your opinion, I'm just curious to hear.
Well, okay. So I'd say that probably depends on the person, the individual who's doing the ghosting of the friendship, we'll call it.
Yeah.
I know in my experience, one, the guy, because he came and ended up coming back to Florida. He was in another state. When we had this conversation of like, hey, I said, hey, I have feelings. And I know I've talked about coming out to the state you're in and visiting, and like, I was supposed to go with a group and it ended up narrowing down to just me. And my mentor is like, yeah, you need to talk to him about your feelings, because just you going out there is probably not a good idea. Like you could get your hopes up, like clarify where he's at. So anyway, so he came back. So it had been almost 2 years at that point of like, he just disappeared from any conversation. And so he was one of the three guys in January. And then he came in May to visit Florida and see friends, not just me, but see friends. And he told me, because he had said, hey, could we hang out? And I was like, yeah, sure. So he told me in that point, he's like, he's the one that said, you just seem so confident. And like, I know at the time he expressed to me, at the time I had said, hey, you know, my feelings. And he said, you're too godly for me. Like I have a past and, I just don't know. I don't want you to change your view of me. And I was like, okay, unless you murdered somebody. In which case, even then, like, God forgives, I'd probably be like, so have you confessed to this fact? Like, but still, like, I thought, how bad can it be? Like, and sure, my journey may not look like yours, but I mean, it's our journey with the Lord. And if God can give grace for me, then how can I not extend the same grace? Mm-hmm. Now that's been a learned thing for me over the years, and I'm still learning how to do it well, but... So it's one of those things when he came, he basically was like, I just couldn't believe how confident you just seemed like it would work. And like, you know, I didn't know what to do with it. Cause I just was like, how would this even work? We're in different states. And like, you know, you're so godly and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just, for him, I think it was just his own personal insecurities. Now for me, I know, because of what I've been through in a bad relationship. And then, I love my family. I love my parents, but my dad is very emotionally detached. And so I struggle to be vulnerable. And so if a guy friend would come to me and say, hey, I'm interested in you, there's a part of me that's like almost afraid of, could this actually work? Would this, you know, because even if I'm attracted to him, I have to fight the fear of, yeah, sure, I'm afraid of it. Like, oh, what if the relationship changes and then we're not friends anymore, which is something I think everyone has to think about, because it does change, and it does change your friendship, in my opinion, forever, because once you move towards a romantic relationship, that changes things. However, there's almost a part of me that I've realized I'm even more afraid of this working out, because then it means I do have to take the steps of vulnerability, and I do have to like work towards sharing. And what if he's still like, hey, I see you and you're worth it. And realizing that is my own personal struggle of allowing to invite someone in and have them accept my mess and love me in the mess, not despite it, but in the mess. Cause some things, you know, it's going to be a lifelong journey for me to work through. And I can tell myself like, oh, of course you'd accept him. You know, you're going to embrace his mess, but there's still this like process of saying, hey, you know, this is how God created it. I think for me, it's the perfectionist thing is a lot of it, of like having to work through. You don't have to be perfect, and you can let someone love your imperfections. And the beautiful thing on my journey has been watching friends in the last 3 years of being willing to be really vulnerable and open with my friends, guy friends included, who, you know, with boundaries, because
boundaries.
Certain things you just don't share with guy friends, but watching how they've loved me. And the craziest thing to me is watching how they've said, wow, you are so incredible. And I'm like, I feel like such a mess, you know, and they're like, no, you're amazing. And just being willing to realize, you know, it's the beautiful mess that makes us who we are. And it's all of it. You know, our stories are all going to be messy, but how's God speaking into that? How is God using that? How are we walking with the Lord in that? And so I don't know. I think it would depend on the girl. But I can say for me, it was really hard to feel like I just got ghosted by a friend. And I really had to come to terms with, I'd been in therapy about 6 months at that point. So I was like, this is not about me. This is about the other person, you know? And I don't know what they're having to work through, but I can't force anyone to share. I can't, you know. He was the first guy that ever told me you're too godly. And I was like, really, God? Like, I'm too godly now?
He's a Christian. Problem.
I'm like, come on. Like, really? Yeah. I'm too godly? Like, I'm not trying to be too godly. I'm just trying to be me. And I love Jesus. But again, like recognizing with compassion his journey. He has a journey he's walking out. And hey, you know, maybe it's wrong person, wrong time, wrong person, you know, right time. I don't, you know, all of that. You know, I just got to have to walk out my story. So, but I feel for your friend because it's really hard. Mm-hmm. It is very hard, especially if you're interacting with that person regularly. And I was just, I think it was Annie F. Downs, 100 Days to Brave. I've been doing it as a Devo. And she talks about, I think it's her, maybe it was someone else.
Yeah.
But she's talking about grieving. So often we grieve romantic relationships, but we don't give space to grieve the change that happens in friendships and grieve the loss of friendships. And I was like,
Ooh, that's really good.
Like, you know, we think relationships, romantic, are so different, but the reality is there's not a lot of similarities between friendship. I mean, who doesn't want to marry their best friend? I mean, I'm saying I do. And so just thinking about like, wow, when the friendship changes, you know, giving yourself permission to grieve that and process through the loss of that friendship. Hopefully that doesn't happen for your friend. Hope not.
Yeah. You know. I don't know. We'll see. I'm like, well, I'm going into an interview right now. I'll ask. And he was like, okay. But I love that you said that though, because I've actually lost two pretty significant friendships in the last like 2 years. And so I've had to grieve them, you know, and it was a whole process. And I still sometimes feel like I'm grieving them. Cause you know, when you're that close to somebody and like something happens or you don't even know what happens and it's just like they're gone, it's like what?
Yeah
you know, it's almost like a death, right? Like it's not the same thing, but it's almost like a death because you just you're cut off, you don't have that anymore. So many tears over the last 2 years.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I looking back on it now, I can see why I needed to let them go. You know, like the person I am now through therapy and everything, like, I don't think I could get to where I am right now if I still had those friends. And it's not anything against them. It just was at that point in time, they were the people I needed, but I needed to be able to progress past that. And that's okay. You know, still sucks, but it's okay.
Yes, it does. It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will let you go because I want you to be able to relax before your date.
I was going to say, I'm going to do my like breathing exercise, get loosened up.
Yes. Okay. Well, I really appreciate your time. This was great.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
This is so fun. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for just putting it out there.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter @AnEpiffWithTiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany. Inside.